Spirit Catholic Radio, KVSS. We are Catholic Radio for the Christian community. Good morning and welcome to Spirit Mornings with Bruce McGregor and
Chris McGregor.
And we're going to multiply here today, Chris.
All right.
Embracing technology, we love it. It's all about evangelization and catechesis. So we're going to bring on two folks with us this morning. Mike Aquilina, Vice President of the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. Mike, of course, great friend of KVSS and a regular contributor here, has edited more than a dozen books on Catholic history, doctrine, and devotion, including the bestseller, What Catholics Believe. Currently, the co-host of EWTN's Swear to God, a regular panelist on the weekly Roman Observer broadcast by the Catholic Family Network. And we're also joined by Father Chris Stubna. Father Stubna received his doctorate in theology from the Pontifical Gregorian University in Rome. He is the diocesan secretary for education for the Diocese of Pittsburgh. Father Stubna is the author or co-author of several books, including A Pocket Catechism for Kids, and joins Mike as co-author for a wonderful book we're going to be talking about today called Take Five, On the Job Meditations with St. Ignatius. And Mike and Father Stubna, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Morning. It's great to be here. Good morning. It's good to be with you.
I have to tell you, both Mike and Father, that this book, it's a little book, but it is one that I cannot keep in my office because people keep grabbing it to take and meditate with and to take it in the chapel and pray with. It is outstanding. Congratulations to both of you.
Well, thank you. You made our day, Chris. It's good to know it's being used.
Oh, it is being used. And I think you have done a great service to a fantastic saint, of course, to Saint Ignatius of Loyola. I think it is very important the things that he has to share with us today to be implemented into our lives. Wouldn't you agree, Mike?
I do, of course. And that's why we put this together. Saint Ignatius really brought about a revolution in the way we think about spirituality because, you know, in the centuries leading up to that time, we're talking, he was born in 1491, so he was born right about the time of the discovery of America. And in the centuries leading up to that time, there was this idea that in order to grow closer to God, you really had to pull away from the world. You had to go away and live in a monastery. But he really taught that you can be a contemplative out there in the world. You can be a contemplative in action. And he showed us some very practical ways to pursue this, to cultivate it in our lives. And I came to know it through the life and work of a good friend of mine, who was educated by the Jesuits and got his license and his doctorate from the Jesuits, Father Chris Stubna. So watching him work and working with him, I learned a lot, and I said, hey, I gotta write a book with this guy.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you did. Now, Father Stubna, the life of St. Ignatius, which you included in here, I think is just wonderful because you really need to know and understand the founder's life, especially if someone who has such a profound understanding of spirituality. Knowing St. Ignatius, it really helps to put everything into perspective, doesn't it?
I think it's critical, really, to understanding the purpose of the vision and the hope of the book that Mike and I put together. I think building on what Mike had indicated, one of the keys to understanding St. Ignatius was the real sense of being able to find and discover God and God's purpose and each person's vocational call to serve God and the Church in the circumstances of the world, because so often, you know, as people want to grow spiritually and grow in their relationship with God, I think a life of prayer can sometimes be a call to detach themselves from their circumstances or to move away or perhaps to see even the circumstances of the world as distractions. When St. Ignatius invites us into those experiences of our life as opportunities for grace. I think one of the things the book tries to set out are some of the major themes in the work of St. Ignatius, of seeking God in all things, you know, of trying to do things for the greater glory of God. But the hope here is to lead people through the experience of their life to a deeper relationship with God and out of that to a more active, faith-filled life of discipleship.
Certainly, St. Ignatius is a great role model for so many of us because he didn't start out as necessarily a pious child who would immediately enter into the monastic life, as some saints so gloriously did. He was quite a bon vivant, wasn't he?
Well, that's true. You know, at birth, it was a different story because he was the 11th child in the family, and he was the youngest, and as such, he was consecrated to God from an early age, and it was expected that he would be a priest, possibly enter a religious order, and likely become a bishop since he came from a noble family. But his family also had a reputation for being passionate and applying the passions in all the worst ways. You know, there were murderers in his lineage and adulterers, and it seemed that they were spending a lot of time in the courts. They were prone to duels and all sorts of trouble, and Ignatius himself eventually grew into some of those bad habits. He was quite a dandy. He was very vain about his looks. He was a handsome guy, but he was careful to cultivate his hair and the care of his fingernails and that sort of thing. He was very well-dressed and quite a playboy. He was taken up with the romance novels of the time, like the Arthurian legends, and he wanted to live the life of a knight, an important part of which was forbidden love. So he had a lot of bad ideas running around in his mind, and he had a lot of passion, and he was applying a lot of it in the wrong direction.
Yeah, one of the great blessings of the life of St. Ignatius, the important topics in my doctoral dissertation was on the whole idea of suffering and the role that suffering and difficulties can play in bringing people to Christ and to faith, and certainly that's what it took for St. Ignatius to really turn his life around when he faced tremendous physical suffering, a long recuperation period after the incident with the cannonball and not properly being set, his leg and all of that. But he came to faith. He came to an experience of Christ, and suffering can often bring us to that. There are opportunities for grace, and in our culture, we don't always see that possibility.
A lot of people might not know the story about Ignatius and the cannonball, and it's striking. No pun intended.
Literally, yeah. I was going to say literally.
Yeah, he and his companions were defending Pamplona, and they were defending from the invading French, and the French breached the walls, and Ignatius was about to just sacrificially give his life to fend them off because it was a losing battle.
Mm-hmm.
But at the last moment, a cannonball went through his legs.
Oh.
And shaved off part of his calf and broke his other leg.
Oh.
And the leg was set badly. The bone was protruding through the skin. And it was they had to break it and reset it eventually. But the French admired his bravery. But it involved a long recuperation so that they could reset the leg. And we have to keep in mind that all of this took place before there was any such thing as anesthesia or antisepsis. So he had to suffer through a lot of infections, and he had to spend a lot of time in bed. So imagine that this dandy, this playboy, this great military guy, having to spend all this time in bed. He must have been climbing the walls.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, and he didn't have all of those great romance books that he liked to read. So what he was fed, I mean, intellectually anyway, was the life of Christ and the lives of the saints. And what great theology books, really, when you think about it.
Yes, and so often it's the saints that provide us with the examples of the virtuous life and the ability to see in their heroic and extraordinary living out of their faith opportunities for us.
Mm.
Yeah.
Through trying to emulate the lives of the saints, isn't that how he really came to understand the spiritual exercises that he would later share with us?
Sure. All of this would have been impossible if he had not had very practical experience out there in the world. He was a guy who had lived the military life, and he knew what it was like to get things done. In some areas of his life, he had great discipline. Well, once he was in the situation where he was able to evaluate, when I'm thinking about the love of God, I have peace in my life. But when I start thinking about courtly love, and when I start thinking about military victories and all the glory that can be brought to me, I feel depressed. I feel unsatisfied. I feel ill at ease. And once he realized that contrast, he was able to just apply himself to the love of God. And he really did start wandering. He went on pilgrimage. He went on a Marian pilgrimage. And he dedicated his life to God. He made a good confession. He started over, but then he went about trying to find that way and finding his way into a new path of spirituality so that all of the things of the world can be raised up and dedicated to God.
You're listening to Spirit Mornings with Bruce McGregor and Chris McGregor, joined this morning by Mike Aquilina and Father Chris Stubna, authors, co-authors of the book Take Five on the Job Meditations with St. Ignatius. And Mike or Father, go ahead and take this. I mean, this is a beautiful book because it really allows us to enter into this spirituality, to enter into Ignatius in the workplace. And of course, there's all kinds of pitfalls and pratfalls that can beset us in the workplace. What was kind of the concept in putting this book together? And We'll get into it a little more specifically, but how should people really use this beautiful book?
Again, one of the efforts that Mike and I have had in a number of collaborative efforts, even with the pocket catechisms that were put together for both adults and young people, was trying to simplify the message of the faith for people in their everyday lives. Mm-hmm. That, you know, the faith sometimes seems to be so unattainable, or it becomes so large, and we live in a culture that really doesn't support the faith. The faith is really accessible. It is the way to overcome so many of the challenges, the disappointments, the you know, the lack of fulfillment and happiness that people experience. And I think as people in the workplace, and particularly every day, some of the common struggles that we face, one of the insights from St. Ignatius was these are kind of timeless and eternal. We put them in contemporary terms, but some of the issues that we're talking about are things that people have faced in every age.
Mm-hmm.
And really, what we tried to do is give them Ignatian disciplines that they could take on really in a painless way. By mm-hmm. spending a few minutes every day. You can do this on the bus on the way to work. You can do it as your coffee break. You can do it as part of your lunchtime. And it's really just to take a few minutes every day and spend it in the presence of God using certain disciplines that Ignatius taught us. You know, he taught us to use our intellect. So we have some passages from St. Ignatius that they can spend time with and think about. Like you're using your intellect. And Ignatius also talked about sanctifying the imagination. Well, how do we do that? We do it by entering into the gospel scenes, he said, by using our imagination to place ourselves in those scenes somewhere. So we try to cultivate that. And in every meditation, we have a just imagine section.
Mm-hmm.
That you can enter the gospel scene. And then finally, he really did emphasize memorization. And so we have a little bit that you could try to memorize and come back to every day. Not really make an effort to memorize, but maybe write it down and just keep revisiting it through the day. And really, by the end of the day, you'll have it. You'll know it by heart if you don't have it memorized verbatim. You'll have it engraved in your heart. And over time, this is cumulative, and you're raising all of these great faculties that God gave you. You're raising them back up to God, the intellect, the imagination, and the will, and the faculties for memory. These are great gifts. Ignatius recognized that, and he taught us how to discipline them and sanctify them.
Well, here's the $74,000 question. How did you come up with 74 meditations?
Gosh, I don't know. I guess we kept going till we hit the word count, and then we stopped.
I think you've hit every possibility, and not just in the workplace. I think this is as valid for just everyday living in the home
or
the family or wherever you're at.
I think we had really actually tried to look through most of the spiritual exercises, and you know, I don't think there was any sense of how many we would have really at the beginning of this project. We kind of identified some themes that St. Ignatius seemed to be talking about through the exercises, and when we kind of laid them out, tried to make sure that they would apply to our time and our culture.
Yeah, there were certain topics we knew were concerns about the workplace. You know, Father Chris and I have been working in office environments for years now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted to talk about asking for a raise. We wanted to talk about office gossip. We wanted to talk about, you know, when your coworkers are downcast. We wanted to talk about all of these different things that are just ordinary situations. We wanted to talk about procrastination, the things that we struggle against. Mm-hmm. We want to talk about doing unpleasant or menial tasks. All of the things that we struggle with. So when we got to the main points that are part of everyday life, we knew we had a good book here.
I think one of the goals, you know, the whole purpose of this is really to be transformative, not only personally, but the impact that a person of faith can have in their workplace. You know, this is the whole challenge of evangelization today that I think is a priority for the church. That every day people in their own workplace, their home, their everyday environment, you know, we can't separate out our living out of the faith at work, at home, in church. That faith can be brought into that workplace. It can transform that place of work. It can help to lead others to Christ. And you know, so often people ask the question, how can we help other people to know about Christ? How can we take our faith into situations that seem really not to support the spiritual dimension of life? I think this was an opportunity to
to really give people the ability and the courage and the enthusiasm to be able to see that the workplace can, in fact, be an opportunity for grace. That's right. Peace is contagious. Holiness is contagious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we can either turn up the warmth in the office, or we can turn it down by the way we smile. That smile can be a presence of God in the office. It can really transform what's going on there and make us more attractive as apostles. These are some of the ideas we wanted to bring across in Take 5.
Yeah.
Well, I know it is contagious because anytime we're around you, Mike, we feel we're very happy. We like it. What I'm finding for both of you, how people are using the book, I mean, there's like three ways. You could sit down and read it from front to back, and that would be very valid. But what I'm finding that I'm doing and what others are doing are they're either looking in the table of contents for a particular subject for something they're encountering today, or in some cases, I find myself just kind of, okay, Lord, help me out here, and I just open it up, and that is exactly the area I needed to work on. I mean, that's the beauty of this little book.
Well, thank you. You know, the other thing that I'm really glad the publisher did was include an index in the back that you can look up whatever virtue or vice you happen to be, you know, working on or working against at the moment, or whatever situation has come up in the office, and you can find out what Ignatius said about that particular thing.
When we talk about it being a little book, I think it's a little because it's very practical for the person who is in the workplace. So you could put this in a drawer. You could put this in your purse. You could put this in your briefcase. I mean, this is one of those kind of books that you carry around with you wherever you go.
Yeah, and we also have had some people telling us recently that, you know, it's also provided an opportunity for people to gather in smaller little groups, you know, whether it's in their office or in their home. We've heard that certain families have told me that they're really using this at home to kind of talk about this as a starting point for a discussion. We were hopeful about that because I think it brings people together around common experiences and invites them to reflect on what faith offers. You know, one of the keys to the spiritual exercises, in my mind, is the Ignatius is really challenged to go deeper into the scriptures, and it really was our hope with the, you know, helping people to reflect on a scripture passage that it would invite people to read the Bible more and to pursue the reading of the scripture, as part of their ongoing prayer. So we're hopeful that that will be a positive effect as well.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the interesting things too, Mike and Father, is the fact that I think so much has been written about so many people and so wonderfully by Ignatian spirituality and everything, but you know, trying to get into some of this can be a bit of a daunting task. And one of the beauties of this book, too, is that you sit down and kind of give us a great thumbnail on, six really good points of Ignatian spirituality: seek God in all things for the greater glory of God, paragraphs on service, detachment, obedience, and ultimately method. I mean, this is a really great way for somebody to prep, to begin to really know how to enter into this book.
Well, you know, I'm sure that because you live there, right next to a great Jesuit university, you know, you're regularly in touch with these great Ignatian masters, and it makes the life very attractive. You know, you see the way they're living it, and you say, hey, I want a piece of that. Not everybody has time to do those 30-day Ignatian retreats, but we wanted to make something that would be Ignatius for everybody. I think that if all you do is read our biography of Ignatius, that's the first part of the book, you really do come in contact with the person who's going to be a beacon for you. And the important thing to realize is that he's important not only as a guide through his writings, but he's still living. You know, he's still very much with us, and he's going to be an intercessor for us as well as we're pursuing this path. One of the
hopes that I had personally in terms of providing this kind of a resource for people is that, you know, so often the daily tasks and our work can become mundane. They can become a distraction to people. People wonder really what is it all adding up to. And you know, one of the beauties of Ignatian spirituality is that everything we do, no matter how small or menial it might seem, or how repetitive, I mean, when we see it as part of the order of God's vision, we're really orienting everything we do to bringing about the kingdom of God. Revealing the glory of God. We all play a part of that, and I think it raises the dignity of the human person, which was something, you know, Pope John Paul II spoke about as a great need in the contemporary church. The
you know, raising the dignity of our efforts and our labors, and that it's really through our work every day that each of us has the responsibility to bring into fuller view the glory of God, the truth of God, the kingdom of God. And I think that gives, it really can be a source of hope and strength for people.
I think this is the perfect entry into living out an everyday spirituality, because so many people will say, well, I'm very spiritual, but to really exercise your spirituality, you do need a bit of a discipline. And this book provides in these exercises, these on-the-job meditations with St. Ignatius, it eases you into how to practice it. And all these different levels. I just think it's an awesome start. And I think bosses should be buying whole cases of these and passing them out to their employees if they really care about them.
I think you make a good point in the sense that sometimes for many people the spiritual life seems to be such a huge and difficult thing. And trying to help people to see that praying is not difficult. You know, it really is making time, but the time has to have some order and structure to it to allow someone to enter into a conversation with God. And I think your point is that this gives a little method, a little pattern that isn't too complex. It doesn't take a lot of time, but I think as people enter that experience, the grace and the fruits of that they will begin to experience will really lead them to greater prayer and the greater desire to be a spiritual person.
I think that's true, and I think that it is a simple thing. And there's a sense in which it is an easy thing. It's a light burden and yoke if you go through it step by step and in the disciplined way that Ignatius teaches us. But at the same time, there's a great dignity to it. And as you get through it, you come to realize what you can accomplish through this, because Ignatius does drive you to excellence in what you do because you're giving it to God. And he helps you to see that even these menial tasks, if done with love, if done for the glory of God, are great things. And Chris, when you and I were in Rome together and we were going through all those great Jesuit churches, you could see the fine attention to detail and the works of art, even in the ceilings, that no one could see up close. But if you looked at them through glasses, you could see these minute details there in the ceiling. Well, you can see the kind of love for God and the kind of concern for God's glory that drove the artist to do that, inspired by St. Ignatius. It's the same kind of drive for excellence that we can have in our own work. Maybe we don't find the motivation from our boss. Maybe we don't find it from our coworkers. Maybe we're not finding it from those resources inside ourselves, but we can find it from God. It's a grace. And this is the kind of grace that Ignatius wants us to acquire through habits of prayer, through disciplines of prayer.
Right. I think, one of the nice things, too, and kind of going through the book, is there are certain points that are being made that are kind of linked together. You know, I look at speaking of coworkers, office gossip, and idle talk. There's some clumpings of things where if you're having a problem, you can kind of, go through track 2, 3, 4 of these in a row. But one that had caught my eye and... was one Chris and I have been talking a bit at length here as we've been watching with the papal visit coming and everything, that people seem to rail against this concept of being obedient to the church. And so, we've looked at the word obedience, and here number 35 is obeying the teaching church. And really, as Chris has pointed out, the root word of obedience, I mean, its meaning is really a deep and rapturous listening. But somehow we have that convoluted to the fact where you must obey, and there's this rigidness to it that just shouldn't be there.
That's right. And Ignatius saw it as a form of freedom, and a gateway to freedom. As he taught his people that they should have an extreme sort of obedience, that the Jesuits should have the obedience of a corpse. They could just be moved very easily, and so many of the Jesuits have taken that fourth vow of absolute obedience to the Pope. Mm-hmm. So, the Jesuits, above all, should be very inspiring in that virtue of obedience. And all the rest of us, and we tried to make it more practical and to bring it home, but all of us have to practice that sort of obedience because we all have authorities over us. We all have superiors over us, and when we do our work, we're doing it in many, many cases, because someone asked us to do it and asked us to do it a certain way. So Ignatius guides us to do it well that way.
The Catechism of the Catholic Church talks about that yearning that exists in the human heart, the constant urging and yearning that for something greater, we of course know that to be the truth. We know that the whole notion of obedience ultimately is that ability to hear and to listen with our hearts to what God is ultimately calling us to, which is the fulfillment in Him and the total happiness that only comes from life in Christ. And so often we have this notion of obeying something human, but really at the heart of obedience in the sense of the Church and what Ignatius is talking about is really coming to hear and to listen to the ultimate truth, which is the voice of God. We know that that's fully manifested in the Church and in the teachings of the Church, but we're really calling people to a life of prayer and faith that allows them, to hear and ultimately to satisfy that yearning of their human heart that they know innately, and it isn't being satisfied by any other voice in the world. And St. Ignatius knew that on so many levels. Mm-hmm. He knew that because he had that military background. He also knew it because he was a teacher and because he was a spiritual director. Mm-hmm. He knew the importance of hierarchy. Hierarchy is a sacred order. If we don't have order, we have chaos, we have anxiety. But if we obey the sacred order, that hierarchy, that hierarchia, then there's a peace that comes with it. There's a freedom to love and love obediently.
One of our favorite Jesuits around here is Father John Horn, one of the founders of the Institute for Priestly Formation. And when he is so wonderful to talk to because he does that deep listening. Even if you're asking him just a simple question, he listens and he kind of really reflects before he responds. And that's the thing that I noticed in the book too, something that in so many of the situations we find ourselves in, we need to slow ourselves down and actually take the time to listen and then to speak slowly. I see that in there all the way through there. Mm-hmm. Be sure to be careful in your speech. Speak slowly.
Yeah, one of the great challenges that I think, particularly in the American culture, that, is such a struggle for us to come to this point that we're talking about, that, obedience really requires a great deal of humility. Mm-hmm. John Paul II talked about that in Veritatis Splendor, this whole sense of our notion of freedom, which is a self-dependency, and freedom for us is being able to do what we think is best and to do what we want, and that enslaves us ultimately when it contradicts God's plan. But it takes a tremendous humility to recognize that we can't do it ourselves, that we are totally in the hands of God. We need the grace of God. Part of the spiritual exercises was really to bring people to that sense of humility that would allow a person to finally be open to hear the voice of God. And because we have that struggle inside of us to be, to think that we can achieve this on our own power. The Pelagians are not dead.
Yeah.
I think there's a little bit of that in every one of us. And that's what we have to really ultimately pray for the grace of God to acquire that humility, the tremendous virtue that Mary gives us of being humble so that we can be open, because we can't really listen if we're not humble.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of Take 5, On-the-Job Meditations with St. Ignatius, because it begins to help you to practice that quieting. It allows you to just begin the process of knowing how to implement that in your life.
Now, Chris, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Were you attracted by the promise of Ignatian prayer, or were you attracted by the coffee mug that's on the cover?
It's a very nice coffee mug, I dare.
Are those around? Can we get one?
Yeah, can I get one?
I wish I could.
As a matter of fact, I need some more coffee. I wish you were here. Oh, but I think there's a real appeal to Ignatian prayer, and I think we need it more in today's world than ever before, because we don't know how to slow down. We don't know how to quiet ourselves. We don't even pick up books anymore, do we? Because we have everything in a PDA or we get text or a BlackBerry or something like that. We really owe it to our relationship with God to take 5 and to at least in our encounters with others to meditate on these wonderful sections that you've given us.
Yeah, and ultimately I think that there's always that tension in the human life, and the gospel account where we either think that we're Mary's or Martha's, where we either have to pray or we have to do something and do work. And I think Ignatius showed his whole idea was that the company of Jesus would be contemplatives in action, that we would be able to be detached in the way that we needed to be, but our detachment led us to a life of action, and they weren't contradictory. And we could only act if we were rooted in our life in Christ and rooted in prayer. So, you know, being able to see the two disciplines coming together is, I think, the challenge for each of us.
You know, we've talked so much in the church about building a culture of life and a civilization of love, and I really think that we have to do it one day at a time, and we have to bring with these little breaks that we're taking with Jesus. You know, we take five and reorient ourselves for the day, and we bring that little bit of the day, we bring all the rest of the day into the kingdom, and that's how we're going to build that culture of life and civilization of love, just a little bit at a time, and just that little bit of the kingdom that he's given us.
All right. Well, I've always been a lover of an acronym, so when we got to the 74th meditation here in the book, we're actually going to give everyone a Latin acronym, which was Ignatius's motto. And Father, I'm going to let you handle that one.
Ad maiorem Dei gloriam, which is to the greater glory of God. And, you know, ultimately, as we know, Ignatius was a chivalrous knight who wanted to attain high and lofty goals, and it was only in his spiritual conversion that he realized that the greatest goal of all was to use all of our gifts and talents to see the work that we do and whatever vocation we're in, our work every day, as helping to bring the greater glory of God, especially to make that manifest in the world around us. But everything we do, all of our work, is aimed towards that goal, to the greater glory of God. It's a great motto. It's a wonderful motto the Jesuits have had all these years.
Right. And it fits nicely into all the texting little acronyms and stuff that they've got. So just sign off AMDG when you're when you're done, everybody.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes, it's all majas. It's all majas. It's
great. Well, Mike and Father, we'd like to thank you both for being with us. Thank you, too, for the book. It's called Take Five on the Job Meditations with St. Ignatius. Actually, we'd like to say take minimally five. If you can take 10, 15, that'd be even better. Mm-hmm. And we want
and
to thank you.
With a cup of coffee, it wouldn't hurt that either.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the best way to read the book.
Oh, yes.
Joined today by Mike Aquilina and Father Chris Stubna. Thank you very much for being with us. And Father, before we close today, could we ask you to impart your blessing upon us and our listeners?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we ask that you continue to grace us with the gift of your Easter Spirit, the gift of the risen Christ at work in us and through us. Help us in all we do, in all the work that's entrusted to our care, to bring greater glory to your name, to help to bring your kingdom into the world. We ask this prayer through Christ our Lord, and may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come down upon you. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Mike. Always a pleasure. And Father, this was great. And AMDG, everyone.
Yeah. Thank you very much.